I know over the past couple of years, it's hard to believe, almost 2 years, I've been diving into the Ten Commandments, and so far we've gone through 8 of them, and I've attempted to try to put the commandments into today's terms. You know, I know we read the Bible, and sometimes we see the same thing over and over, but with that comes a lot of repetition, and sometimes you want to see things maybe from a different angle. So I've been trying to make things kind of mix it up a little bit so that we can find different ways to be able to keep the commandments better. And we know that these commandments weren't nailed to some stake, and Christ didn't do away with the law. In fact, if you read in Revelation 22, there's an interesting verse in there. In verse 14, it says, "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter into the gates into the city." So we see here at the very end of the book, you know, there's a encouraging statement given to us to keep the commandments. Now, if they were done away with, this would never apply to us, but they do, and we should be keeping them in the right way. And we saw that the first 4 commandments focus on our love and respect for God, and the last 6 commandments focus our love and our attention to our neighbor. So as you can guess, today we're going to cover the 9th commandment. And many people, when they think of the 9th commandment, they think about lying. Thou shalt not lie. Well, the title of my message today is The 9th Commandment, Bearing False Witness, because we're going to look at this a little bit deeper. We're going to break it down, and then we're going to look at 3 ways on how we could either break this commandment or how we could do a better job in keeping it. In Exodus 20, verse 16, and Deuteronomy 5, verse 20, is where the commandment is listed. And it just simply states, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. I like to, start the message today by going over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Because before we can get into discussing what it means to bear false witness, I think we need to understand, who is our neighbor? I mean, after all, this is commandment specifically says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. So let's dig into this a little bit. Luke chapter 10, we'll start in verse 25. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him being Christ, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" It's a good question. We should all ask that question. "And he said to him, What is written in the law? And what are you reading of it? And he answered and he says, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Christ's response says, and he said to them, You've answered rightly. Do this and you'll live. So how do we get eternal life? Keep the commandments. But he, the lawyer, wanted to justify himself, said to Jesus, Who is my neighbor? Very interesting question, and we're going to dig into this a second here. Jesus answered him, as typically Jesus did. He gave a parable, and he said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's about a 20-mile journey. And he fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed on by the other side. And likewise, a Levite came to the same place, looked at him, and passed on the other side. So see here, we see 2 people, a priest and a Levite, people who were supposed to do the right thing, just kept on walking by. But, verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he saw him and he had compassion. Now, we don't have time to talk about it, but the Samaritans go way back to when the Babylonians took over, right? When they invaded Israel and Jerusalem. That whole scene between the Israelites and the Samaritans, there was not a lot of love between these 2 people. And Christ here calls the Samaritan out and says, this guy did a good job. He took care of him. You read the rest of the story. He took care of him. He gave the innkeeper money. He says, hey, whatever more you spend, take care of him. Verse 36, he says, which of these 3, the Levite, the priest, or the Samaritan, which of these 3 was neighbor to him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer answered, he says, he who showed mercy on him, the Samaritan. And Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Now, why was this so important? Why? Because the Jews interpreted the word neighbor as either one who was related to them in nature, one who was akin to them in blood, or one who professed the same religion as they did. That's how they saw their neighbor. So when you say, don't bear false witness against your neighbor, you're talking about people you know, people you like, people that believe the same thing that you do. But what did Christ say? Christ says, your neighbor is anyone and everyone. Not just the people you know and like and that believe the same thing that you do. Because have you ever noticed it's easier to get along with people you know and like than those that who you don't and struggle with? This commandment specifically names your neighbor as the one you should not bear false witness against. So that brings me to the question. What does it mean to bear a false witness? The word bear means to heed or pay attention to respond, or to testify, or to give a testimony, like the witness in the facts of a case. So if you're a witness at the scene of a crime, right, you saw what happened. The witness part means one present at the transaction as able to testify that it took place. So again, if you're at the scene of a crime or a scene of an accident, you know, you saw the two cars coming at each other. This car swerved this way. This car swerved this way. This one hit this one. You saw what happened, and then you tell what happened. So you're bearing witness on what happened to that particular event. False means a sham without cause, deceit, a lie, or to cheat. So a false testimony or a false witness is somebody who does not give an accurate account of something that they either saw or did not see. You say, well, what does that mean, did not see? Well, we're going to talk about that and some of the other definitions to the meaning of what it means to bear a false witness. But you can see here that bearing false witness, again, goes above and beyond. It goes to that person that is our neighbor, somebody who may not be sitting here in front of us, somebody who could be out on the street. Doesn't matter. Again, Christ gave us that example. Let's look at an interesting comment made in Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 19. You can write in your notes Proverbs 25:18. It says, a man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. A club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. You think about it. You know, the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. That's not true. Words can hurt. Look what it did to Christ. They bore false witness against Christ. They brought false witnesses to testify against him, and it wound up costing him his life. And Christ, in the proverb here says, our words can do the same to others. But Deuteronomy 19 brings out a very interesting point to this particular commandment that I like to talk about. Deuteronomy 19, verse 16. It says, if a false witness arises against any man to testify against him of wrongdoing, both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priest, and the judges who serve in those days. So they were to bring somebody in front of somebody, the priest and the judges, to kind of be the judge and to kind of vet out the story and what happened. And the judges will make careful inquiry. And indeed, if the witness is a false witness and who has testified falsely against his brother, then you will do to him as he thought to have done to his brother. And so you shall put away the evil from among you. Did you catch that? He called bearing false witness evil. Evil. He goes further. And those who remain, so the people who are there witnessing what happened, shall bear and shall hear and fear, and hereafter they shall not again commit such evil among you. God was using this as an example to teach other people that bearing false witness is a serious offense. Not only is it breaking God's commandment, you're defiling your neighbor. Understanding the meaning of these words, brethren, is crucial to understand how to keep this commandment properly. So let's look at some ways on how we can bear false witness against our neighbor. Number one, lying. right? I mean, that's Captain Obvious, right? We think of the commandment, we think of lying. Lying in the dictionary means a false statement made with deliberate intent to deceive, or an intentional untruth, or a falsehood, or to speak falsely or utter untruth with intent to deceive. So we all know that meaning. But did you know that there was a study performed a few years ago by a psychologist by the name of Robert Feldman, who said 60% of people lie at least one time during a 10-minute conversation? Telling an average of 2 to 3 lies? Can you imagine that? That's in a 10-minute conversation. Now, I didn't have the time to sit there and do the math, but that'd be a lot of lies told in a single day by a single person. Lying only benefits the person that's telling the lie. You ever notice that? You're not going to lie about something that you did and make yourself look bad. You can make somebody else look bad. This commandment forbids us from lying against our neighbor because, again, it shows a lack of respect and a lack of love towards them. Let's go to Proverbs 6 and verse 16. Let's take a look at a couple passages about lying. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. Proverbs 6, 16, it says, "These 6 things does the Lord hate. Yes, 7 are an abomination to him." That word abomination means morally disgusting, abhorred, vile, shameful, or detestable. I mean, this takes hate to a whole new level. God says, here are the 7 things that I absolutely hate and find abominable. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deceives wicked plans, feet that are swift to run to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. So how much does God hate lying? 2 out of the 7 things that are mentioned here involve lying. 30% of what God truly abhors and hates involves lying, involves breaking this commandment. Now, we read in James 3 that nobody can tame the tongue. It's called a world of fire and iniquity. But this commandment teaches us how to control our tongue and what to say. And again, if we don't do it in the right way, we could do a lot of harm, like that club or that sword or that sharp arrow. Let's look at a biblical example of lying. Let's go to Genesis 3. Let's see how dangerous lying really is. Genesis chapter 3. Pick it up in verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" See here, he twists it a little bit. A little bit of truth, a little bit of lie, a little bit of deceit. And the woman says correctly to the serpent, "We may eat of the trees of the garden, of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the fruit which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it or touch it, lest you die." So Eve knew the rule of the game. She knew exactly what she should do and what she shouldn't do. And the serpent said to the woman, "You won't surely die." Flat out lie. "For God knows in the day that you eat it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." John 8:44 calls Satan the father of all lies. He twisted the word of God so that he could be the one that they believed. He wanted to look good. Remember, the liar and the lie only benefits the person that's telling it. Satan wanted to be the one that they listened to and that they trusted. And of course, you know the rest of the story. You know, Adam ate, he got punished, Eve got punished, they all got kicked out of the garden. And here we are today. You say, "Well, you know, if it was me, I wouldn't have ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Yes, you would. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all took a bite of that fruit. So what is the opposite of lying? Telling the truth. The expositor's commentary says, to despise truth is to despise God, whose very character and being is truth. I found that interesting. God is truth. And of course, John 17:17, God's word is truth. But Mark Twain said once, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. Isn't that true? You don't have a whole box of index cards just keeping track of all the lies that you told. You have the stories that you make up. You know, you can even sleep better at night. You ever notice that people who tell the truth sleep better? They don't have that weighing on their conscience. Imagine if we all told the truth and nobody lied. I mean, I can't wait for that day. It doesn't exist now. But Proverbs 12:19 is where I want to go next. I look forward to that time, and I'm working on it. Again, we're talking about bearing false witness against your neighbor. But again, we have to remember that the opposite of that is to tell the truth. Proverbs 12:19 says, the truthful lip will be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. I like to read this from the Good News Translation. It says, a lie has a short life, but truth lives on forever. And you know, I had in my Bible, in the side note that I scribbled down in my Bible, it says Acts chapter 5, verse 1, with the story of Ananias and Sapphira. You know, that lie had a short life. You know, they dropped dead instantly. But the truth lived on forever. And we can read about that, what happened in the Bible. You know, in addition to all the other negative things about lying and about telling the truth, there's also a lot of health issues coming with lying and bearing false witness. Things like high blood pressure, increased heart rate, or elevated stress hormones in the blood. You know, lying does a lot of bad things to you. And telling the truth sometimes, what they say, telling the truth sometimes hurts. But I don't know about you, but it sure makes me feel a whole lot better after I get done getting something off of my chest than have to sit in there and just let it weigh on me and bear me down. And let that guilty and that conscience just drive me crazy. And then you wind up getting up at 2:00 in the morning and wonder why you can't sleep. So this first point in bearing false witness against our neighbor involves not only lying, but also in telling the truth. The second part, or the second way that we could bear false witness against our neighbor, is backbiting. Backbiting. Now, I never thought backbiting involved breaking the ninth commandment until I actually looked at the meaning of the word. Backbiting in Hebrew means a cover or a disguise or a secret or to be a talebearer, which is the same exact meaning given in the word lie or a liar. The dictionary definition of a backbiter is to say mean or spiteful things about someone who is not absent. Backbiting is breaking the ninth commandment because you're witnessing against your neighbor falsely for something that you did not see. Remember about the accident and something that you saw two cars collide and you knew which one did it? Talebearing means that you weren't even there, be present what happened, and then you told a story about how that accident happened. How is that even possible? Mr. Yates gave a sermon a couple of months ago, and he made a comment that backbiting involved a three-way conversation with only two people present. Not very good, is it? It shows, again, a lack of concern for our neighbor because God needs us to build each other up and encourage one another. I mean, look at the things that we're going through now and the times that we're living in. It's disheartening. It's to the point where you almost don't even want to get out of bed or even turn on the TV. And yet we have to worry about fighting and bickering with one another. And God says, no, love one another and build each other up. You don't have to turn there. In Proverbs 25:23, it says, the north wind brings forth rain and the backbiting tongue and angry countenance. You know, just as sure as that north wind brings forth the rain, so does a backbiter cause anger and pain to those that they backbite. It's like a club, a sword, or a sharp arrow. There's an interesting story I heard, and I've heard the story several times, and its meaning is kind of given in different ways, and different lessons are learned. But I think this applies in this case. It seemed that a prominent church member saw a younger woman leaving a pastor's office one early morning before office hours. And the younger woman was disheveled due to the early hour, and the older woman thought this was odd. So later, the woman heard about it, and she found out that the younger woman was divorcing her husband. And she told her friends about that early morning incident. And they speculated that the younger woman was having an affair with the pastor. And soon the rumor spread throughout the whole congregation. Now, you can see how that can happen. Because all it takes is just that one person to say one thing, and it spreads like wildfire. The older woman later found out that the rumor was false. The couple wasn't getting a divorce. The younger woman had been suffering from depression and spent the whole night counseling with the pastor and his wife in their office. But because of the gossip, both the reputation of the younger woman and the pastor were severely damaged. So the older woman asked the pastor, what can she do to rectify the situation? How can I make this better? And here's what the pastor said. I want you to take a feather pillow, and I want you to go up to the highest mountain. I want you to rip it open, and I want you to cast the feathers into the wind. And then I want you to pick up every single feather and put it back in the pillow. And the woman says, that's impossible. There's no way you could do that. And the pastor says, that's right. That's what happens when you spread rumors. It's impossible to change and contact the opinion of every person who heard it. And brethren, that is breaking the ninth commandment. That is bearing false witness against your neighbor. It's amazing how powerful your words can really be. Romans 1. Romans chapter 1. I found that story here on the back of my neck stands up when I read that. I mean, I know that's probably the extreme, but is it? We don't know how little words can seem to somebody, and they can just get blown out of proportion. You ever play that game where you whisper something in somebody's ear? You know, there's a line of people, and by the time it gets down to the end of the line, it's completely different than what it was said at the very beginning. Romans 1, 32, breaking down into the middle of the verse, it says, those who practice such things are deserving of death, and not only that do the same, but also who approve them and practice them. What is he talking about? Well, Paul lists 23 things in verses 29 through 31, and one of them is backbiting. And if you read it, it includes murder, envying, and hating as a part of this list. This is a list that God finds detestable. And how much does he detest this command, this who break this commandment, who is a talebearer? He hates it enough that those who continue to break the commandment and not repent of it will not be in his kingdom. They won't be in his kingdom. So again, this talebearing then is breaking the ninth commandment because it's bringing a false report against something that you did not see, that you're making a story up to make yourself possibly look better or make the person that you're talking about look bad. And the third way that we can bear false witness against our neighbor is slander. Slander. Slander is a false report maliciously uttered to injure the reputation of another person or an accuser. Now, this is interesting because slander is actually the undertone of bearing false witness. In fact, in nearly every definition surrounding the word or this surrounding this word, this commandment involves the word slander. And it ties into false witness because, again, this is tearing down another human being to make yourself look better. Let's look at a biblical example of slander back in Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. This is where 12 men were sent to spy out the land. They were chosen from the 12 tribes of Israel. Chapter 13, we see they went into the land and they came out. 10 of them had a negative outlook. Two of them didn't. And in chapter 14, we saw Israel sided with the 10 men, and they even wanted to return back to Egypt. So we'll pick up the story here in verse 35 in Numbers chapter 14. It says, I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it to all this evil congregation, and that have gathered against me. In the wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned, the 10 men who came and gave a false report, all made the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander against the land. These 10 men slandered the land that they saw, and they brought a false report. They ruined the reputation of God by claiming what they saw didn't match what God said it was going to be. I never thought of it that way. You know, here that God says you're going to go into a land that flows with milk and honey. They carried clusters of grapes, two of them, on their shoulders. I mean, this is a land that was plentiful, that God was giving to them. And these men slandered the word of God by saying it wasn't what it was. It wasn't a good land for them to go into. And as a result, God wound up punishing Israel, and most of them didn't wind up going into the promised land after all. These 10 spies bore witness, false witness against their neighbor, and they spoke untruth, which led to the people's demise. And how about us, brethren? How many people have we potentially led away from God because of slander? Again, it could be something as innocent as saying something to somebody, or as harmful as driving somebody away from the truth. Our words really mean something. They truly mean a lot. Remember, it's like that club or that sword or that sharp arrow. They could do a lot of damage. So in conclusion, bearing false witness is a serious offense to God and to others. Our neighbor is anyone and everyone, not just those that live next door to us. Bearing false witness means that we're given bearing false witness means that we're giving an inaccurate account against someone. And this could be done by lying, by bearing false or by talebearing, or by slandering. Bearing false witness shows a lack of respect to our neighbor and fellow man. And since God's commandments are love and he is love, we are to keep his commandments by loving our neighbor as ourselves. And remember the golden rule: do to others as they would have done to you. Would you want someone to bear false witness against you? I don't think so. I'd like to close in Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23. It says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You know, at baptism, we died. But we're to give up our life and make our life like God's and live to be like him. Again, we're not going to be perfect, but we are to try to be perfect and stop doing the things that we used to do. Verse 25, he says, so stop telling lies. Stop bearing false witness. Stop talebearing. Stop slandering. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. Why? For we are all part of the same body. Brethren, we're all part of God's family. Let's remember to love our neighbor by keeping this ninth commandment and to not bear false witness against them. Happy Sabbath.